All right, everybody. Hello. Welcome to the Gilcast. You all got what you wanted. You've been asking for it all year. We've been winning. We've been crushing. We've been doing well in GPPs. But you got it. I'm Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Nate Noling. I'm joined by Sammy Reed. Not a lick of money was made between the three of us today. There were no profits to be had. We woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We entered into our contest, and we promptly got punched in the face. Nate, how are you doing on this very solemn occasion?
Got kicked in the teeth. I mean, it was bad.
It was so bad.
It was not a good Sunday. I mean, that was the most frustrating afternoon slate I've had in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sammy? How's it going over there on the, it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, I think, on the West Coast. So, you know, you still have a whole day left to sit and suffer through.
Yeah. I want to go back to bed, bro. You ever have one of those days where just like nothing goes right? Your DFS loses, all your season longs lose, even your real football team wins, but they lose their star middle linebacker. Like everything was just a poop sandwich. Dude,
if I was losing in like my main event teams right now, I would not be able to do this show. Like I wouldn't be able to like conjure up enough positivity to like actually like click record and be here. I needed something to go right. And if I'm ever talking about my seasonal teams when we do the show, that means that I lost at least two mortgage payments, which I did today.
Yep. I mean, it was just one of those days, and it was capped off, like Nate said, by this brutally terrible Jets Miami game at the very end where everything seemed to be going right. You know, I had Fitzpatrick and Gaskin, and I'm like, okay, I can still get there. And then, like, Gaskin starts just, like, smashing, and he's got, like, 40 yards on the first
drive. He had 10 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, like, complete fire. And then, you know, he got the Maddock mush. You know, Davis just texts us, bro, like, there's no way he doesn't go for 30 today. And lo and behold, thanks, Davis, that didn't happen. And then they just
Fitz had 20, I think, at halftime and ended the game with 18.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just complete, like, it was so crazy. They couldn't convert a single third down. And it was just, like, run, incomplete. Interception on the first pass. And it was like, dude, I was so close to, like, so many cash lines. And it was just a very fitting end to the day. So, yeah, pummel my face. Here I am. I'm here to take some L's. Let's do this.
So something, I don't remember who, but someone tweeted at me last week and asked us to say our scores before we started talking. They find that helpful. Yeah. I scored 140.42. Nate scored 136.94. And the whirling dervish, Sammy Reed, scored 127.24. I actually, because, you know, I get all these good games, like from people who are terrible at daily fantasy. I only lost in cash about 30% on DraftKings. I seriously think I won about 5 games on FanDuel out of like 300 posted head-to-heads. Like I got completely wiped out. And I actually think I legitimately did not even min cash GPPs today. Like it was one of those days, dude.
It's such a tough scene. I mean, can we just talk about where it went wrong? Because it was not a December to remember for me. It was a December to forget.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play Derrick Henry in cash on DraftKings or on FanDuel. And, you know, that was going really well for about 3 quarters.
Then yeah, I was sitting there like laughing to myself. Even when he had the bonus, it's like, ha, 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 ha. These rubes taking a guy who never catches any passes.
Never catches any passes.
If he doesn't score, it's just he's completely useless. And then he rips off a 94-yard touchdown to go over 200 with a touchdown. And then in overtime, gets a 53-yard reception, which was like worth more points than Madison scored the entirety of his day. And then punches it in at the very end just to stick the plunger right up the rectum and pull it out real fast. It was just a complete flogging. And I'm sore, bro. I'm real sore.
Yeah, I didn't play Henry in GPP. I didn't play Henry in cash. And I was big. I was big on the Buccaneers Green Bay game for my stacks and tournaments. And I only did one Atlanta and Minnesota game stack out of probably like the 20 teams I made. So
That'll do it, Chief. That's basically the blueprint for how to lose money. Like, if somebody was making a blueprint, how do you get completely wrecked on this slate? They basically put that on a document and sent it over to you, and you followed it to a T.
So, all right, let's get into this. Because I actually think that there were some really interesting decision points today, because there were so many teams that projected so close. Like, our top optimals on Daily Roto, our first optimal and our 50th optimal were all within a point. Not like 2 points, not like 3.5, like a point. Like, it was just one of those slates where it was like that. And it starts right at the top with quarterback, because a lot, you know, people did different things at quarterback. There were, I think, probably two chalky quarterback selections. I mean, I guess Tannehill was really chalky. So I guess there were three.
And I really considered going Tannehill.
I did. So the reason why I didn't consider Tannehill was I thought that Fitzpatrick was clearly superior for the same price. Mm-hmm. LOL. And I like Stafford more than both of them. And I actually, like, I had no problem with the Fitzpatrick play. I ended up playing Stafford. I thought Fitzpatrick was fine, but I thought Stafford was a little bit better. Actually, I think that we even had Fitzpatrick projected for more points. I need to go look at that now.
I'd be hard-pressed to believe you guys didn't have Fitz for more points. I mean, literally, Stafford was like my sixth, maybe seventh QB. I was shocked when I saw you rolled him in cash.
Yeah,
their team total was so high, dude.
Quarterback who never runs, yeah, and has like no interest in getting the 300-yard bonus. And
you know who had 25 yards? Thing. You know who had 25 yards rushing today?
Was it Stafford?
It was Stafford.
Yeah, Fitz, I mean, that's four. Way more than Fitzpatrick. I know it was.
Dude, honestly, I think the only quarterbacks I really considered were Fitz and Tannehill. I somewhat considered like that 6.4, 6.5 range with like Minshew.
I was right. We had Stafford for 23, which is very, very legitimate when you have a 29-point team total against the Jaguars.
Dude, I had Stafford like below Cousins. Like, I was not playing Stafford in cash.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Stafford is what we saw today is that if they get out to any sort of lead, it is Adrian Peterson time, it's Swift time, Kerryon Johnson. Like, they have like no killer instinct. They just have no.
Well, so to like, I again, I'm not saying like I think I made some great play or anything, but he threw 31 passes, right? That's fine. But they had three rushing touchdowns, and you just, like, when you go out to project a team, you're not going to project them to score 70% of their points via rushing. You project them to score about 30% of their points via rushing. And what, Kenny G got tackled on the one, which turned into a DeAndre Swift rushing touchdown. Nope. And, I mean, literally, if Kenny just gets in on that, I have a winning day. But not that I'm salty or anything. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
No big deal.
Yeah. I mean,
I think a winning day if Kenny gets in on that.
Yeah. I will say this. Stafford in competitive games, he can go nuts. He can go nuclear, right? Like, I mean, we've seen this happen loads of times, right, where they'll have him have like 45 dropbacks or whatever, because the Lions, you guys are right that the Lions have no balance, where when they're up 10, they're literally just run pass. Like, if it's second, if it's third
they're
or whatever.
They're so thirsty for a win. They're like, oh, we don't want to do anything to screw this up. We're going to get a win today. You know? And it's just like, dude, they're just so bitch made. So bitch made. Throw the ball down the field, damn it. Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I mean, Stafford plays all of his like home games in a dome in a great like environment. He was on the road, no dome win.
Yeah, but dude, the Jaguars are the worst.
Yeah, that basically says it all, Nate. No dome. That's how I felt about this entire day.
Yeah, like, no dome.
Yeah, I'm so
tilted. I mean, like, this was not the environment to play Stafford. Like, I don't get that team total. I think people overvalued how bad the Jacksonville defense was. Even Galladay, I felt somewhat fishy about.
No, I will not allow. I will not allow this, dude. Yeah, he is.
Put up 34 points, Nate.
Yeah, Nate, Kenny Galladay is like, he's just as good as for fantasy as Thielen is.
No, Dude, one of them is a legitimate alpha who's like,
I mean that's projected at 25%.
Yeah, one of them is Justin Jefferson's backup, dude.
That's okay.
You realize like Kenny Galladay has never had like above like 23% target share on a seat. Like he will
this year though.
That's not what Detroit does. They spread it out. Marvin Jones is
I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you, this year it's gonna happen because Marvin Jones is dustier than our lineups today. He's dustier than fading Derrick Henry.
To do.
It's when really, do you think really the last time a Matt Stafford wide receiver had above a 25% target share on a season was?
I'm sure it was Calvin Johnson.
Okay. So, like, you might be right. Like, it might have been 2016. So, I don't understand why you would think Adam Thielen, who's like, might end
how many, with 30%. Hey, Sammy, as someone who played Adam Thielen in cash today, did you feel that he was an alpha? Did you feel that he was really dominating? Do you feel that he was making his presence known out there?
This had real shades of Calvin Ridley slash like when there's an actual alpha in the house, but you play the beta for like $2,000 more. It's like the stinkiest feeling in the entire world. Like, I feel so awful about myself.
Yeah. Anyway. Fitz was super popular, but did either of you guys think about playing Tannehill over him?
I thought about it, especially just because I didn't want to have too many Dolphins. Because let's not forget, like, the Dolphins are a bad team, in fact. So, you know, that's one thing I tried to not do. But in the end, like, I felt pretty good about Fitzpatrick. He just, like, YOLOs it, and he gives you some rushing floor. And, you know, he throws the ball deep, and he's actually got really good weapons. Not that he used any of them today. You know, he just threw to backup tight ends all day.
But... Dude, what happened to – I didn't watch any of this game. What happened to Gesicki?
I mean, he just got cooked by, like, second and third string tight ends.
That's not good, bro. I, like, just made a dynasty trade for Gesicki, and I'm, like, I'm tilting.
No, I mean, you should have traded for Adam Shaheen.
I should have traded for Durham Smythe.
So I mean, the reality is, like, I think Tannehill's really good, and it was a good scoring environment, and I think Tannehill smashed pretty hard today. So
my reality is that I hate Ryan Tannehill, and that I, like, refuse to acknowledge that he's good.
Dude, he's real good. Like, I mean, yeah, you have to acknowledge anytime you get away from Adam Gase, like, things are just really, really good, right? Wasn't Tannehill with Gase?
I considered Tannehill. I thought he was fine. I mean, the reason I went Fitz was just the rushing upside and the fact that I had no Dolphins exposure because I was going Montgomery over Gaskin, and I already had A.J. Brown. So I felt fine getting Fitz exposure there. So.
Let me tell you this. The worst thing that anyone could have done today was not play the Dolphins defense in cash.
Oh yes, okay. That was the only thing that helped.
You remember?
Just kick me in the ball sack, homie.
Well,
that's
dude,
cool.
Dude, Sammy, bro, it was the Dolphins. It was the Jets. Every defense against the Jets this year has been like 4,400.
I had to get Adam Thielen in there, man. Just had to get the number two.
Okay, all right. We'll have time to talk about
dude,
that.
When you can pay down for a defense that's in a dome going up against one of the, like, biggest team totals on the slate.
Well, that doesn't matter because you just want your defenses to face lots of pass attempts, so that's fine.
I don't
fine.
Give a damn about no team total, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. But, okay. What the fuck, Alexander Mattison? What the fuck?
Hey, Davis, do running backs matter or not?
What happens, dude? Like, you're going to go out there and get 4 points against the Atlanta Falcons?
Do you think he was still shook from not converting that fourth down last week where he had that, like, 5-foot-wide hole and didn't run into it? Do you think he was just, like – did you think he had the yips like Jose Altuve?
Guys, I don't understand what happened. I watched some of the game, and I'm still confused. He got 10 rushing attempts and, like, 2 targets.
I feel very, very confident that Dalvin Cook would have scored 25 DraftKings points in this game. With, like,
I don't feel that confident at all. I don't feel
I literally that. Felt like this game just, like, lost a quarter or, like, 2 quarters. How was he only had 10 rushing attempts and 2 targets. There was no other backs. Like, this was his – I don't know. I'm, like, dumbfounded at what happened. I'm, like, dumbfounded. Even after watching the game, I'm, like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like DraftKings is missing a quarter.
No, they're not missing a quarter, bro.
Nope. There were 63 points scored.
There were 63 points scored, and he rushed the ball 10 times and had two targets.
I mean, Atlanta – so I think Atlanta is probably one of the worst three teams in the NFL. I mean, they're just so awful. And the fact – I mean, Minnesota's not that great, but the fact that they just went into Minnesota and whoop-spanked them, I mean, really, really screwed with our program here, like in a big way. And maybe we didn't consider enough that that was a reasonable possibility because Minnesota's not actually very good.
I mean, yeah, they are horrible. They're a little bit of that, man, we really hated Dan Quinn narrative going in there where they were like, man, it sucked playing for that guy. We were ready to move on. Yeah, I'm just looking at the box score for this game, though. Pour one out for Todd Gurley. 20 rushing attempts, 47 yards. I mean, it's just – you hate to see it.
But this
I don't personally hate to see it that much.
This has to be the lowest rushing attempts in a Mike Zimmer game, like,
ever.
Like – seriously, I literally don't understand. Mike Zimmer rushes the ball every chance. The only thing, like, it makes no sense to me how little usage he got. It makes
maybe
no
he didn't sense feel that confident once Dalvin Cook was out. Maybe he thinks running backs matter. Yeah, I mean Kirk Cousins, like, they put the ball in his hand a ton. And he ended up, I mean, dude, he had like negative points.
Oh, yeah, Nate, that's why. Kirk Cousins threw three interceptions in the first half. That was why he only got – I was trying to think of this. Yeah, it's because they just had all these possessions that were ending with interceptions.
Yeah.
And then they were down – literally, I think they were down 30 points in the second half.
So, I mean, obviously the 1v1 was Thielen was Madison or Henry, and we all chose.
Well, no, I was
no,
never.
I was never
no,
playing Henry.
I was.
If you play Henry, you're a fish, and you won some.
No,
money.
No,
thanks.
No, no.
We'll take your money the rest of the year.
That is inaccurate.
Henry cash games is a bad move.
That is inaccurate.
Very on brand.
That is inaccurate. That is very inaccurate.
Nate is holding strong.
Davis,
I don't want to be associated with this take.
Davis, you realize that you cannot on DraftKings.com play a running back at this price tag that does not catch passes.
I mean, I play Jonathan Taylor, so I can do whatever I want.
I mean, how many passes did Madison catch today?
Like, dude, you
cannot
know
pay 7-3 for a guy who projects to less than 10% of the target share. You just can't. Like,
well,
Henry,
what if I tell you that he's locked into a 94-yard rushing touchdown?
No. No, also, I mean, that's why targets. Jonathan Taylor
is throwing it out there.
That's why guys like Todd Gurley you can't play. Even Joe Mixon gets a higher percentage of the target share than freaking Derrick Henry does.
Okay,
he had one catch going into overtime. He had one catch.
So, Nate, were you so confident that Madison would catch passes?
Yes. Okay, I thought Madison had – so here's my, like, galaxy brain stupidity of the week. So, Alexander Madison actually has, like, a normal workload. He always will get touches even when Cook's in. Like, he has a role in the offense. I thought he was not only going to take the – Dalvin Cook role. He was also going to maintain some of his current role. I thought he was going to have a floor of a workload that Dalvin Cook had.
So he's going to be like Voltron and just like combine Cook
yes,
and
I
Madison
Mike,
into a super, I mean, running back that was like supposed to be 10K.
Well, because there wasn't, like, they're not going to give Amir Abdullah and Mike Boone the same work that Madison gets on a normal week, like weekly basis. It's similar to like Boone, what?
They like Boone.
I mean, Boone was banged up, and I just didn't – I don't know. I literally – like, I didn't have any fear about Madison at 7-2. I just didn't. But
– so this just, like, cold clocked you.
Totally cold clocked me. I literally thought I was getting Dalvin Cook plus workload at 7-2.
I mean, Dalvin Cook has had bad games before. Like, the Vikings suck.
Yeah, I mean, he's had bad games where he gets 20 rushing attempts and six targets. But
yeah, but not at home against Atlanta.
10 rushing attempts at home has to be the lowest, like, the lowest of any Mike Zimmer running back of all time. Like, it just does.
Kirk Cousins screwed this whole thing up for us, bro.
And like, don't tell me Derrick Henry was a good play. Derrick Henry was not a good play. And if you
he was a fine Henry, play.
No, if you play Derrick Henry on cash games at DraftKings.com,
I think
7.3.
I think Levitan played him in cash.
No. Yeah, because Levitan's sharp and no, likes alpha
bad,
dogs.
No, no, if Levitan did that, it's a bad play. You cannot play.
Now, Levitan probably split lineups. Yeah.
I almost split today, but it wouldn't have mattered. Both of them would have lost because neither of them had Henry in it. Nate made the most mentally weak play out of all the plays, though. He played David Montgomery, who's just like a fat turd.
How was that sequence, like, Nate, when he got the ball to one and then didn't get in, and then he got it again, and they said he was
in?
And
then they said he wasn't in, but...
So mentally weak that he put his elbow down on the ground before the goal line.
Yeah, that was tilting. That was tilting. I mean, Montgomery got the workload. He got 19 rushing attempts and like 6 targets. I mean, at that price tag, I would do it again. I mean,
he is literally a fullback who just like, they're just like, we have no option. I mean, he can't move, dude. It's like sucks watching him play.
You should be blocking for Cordero.
Do you know who the Bears backup running back is though?
Yeah, Artavis Pierce or Ryan Nall, I guess, depending.
So neither one of them, I think, has had a rushing attempt on the season. Like,
Nall has one. Nall has one.
Patterson.
So, like, I mean, literally, he had 19 rushing attempts and 5 targets at, what was his price? 5.8? Like, I would do that again. Like,
he was a good play.
The thing about Gaskin is Gaskin had all the efficiency that I, like, obviously higher team total and stuff like that. But Gaskin has multiple people who would vulture touches from him in both Fitzpatrick and
Breida had 4 carries before the last drive.
Well, Breida had 9 carries last week. Breida is getting usage, and we've seen Breida as like Breida's not a like he's not a zero. Breida is a talented fast running back at the NFL level, and we've seen him be productive before where Montgomery has literally nobody behind him. So I saw Montgomery having like 80%+ share of the rushing attempts. And I just felt better about Montgomery over Gaskin. I don't care. I mean, that wasn't why I lost. I lost because I played Madison. I mean, Madison put up a 4. And
you didn't. You didn't. You could have won with Madison.
No, on DraftKings.com, when Derrick Henry was 30% owned or something like he was, and he puts up 30, and you play a 40% owned running back who gets you 4 at 7K, you're gonna lose. Like, you just. Swallow that pill for the week. It's fine. We have a 17. We have a 17.
So I want to – go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say, I was actually looking at, like, my contests and had my winnings up the moment that Derrick Henry ripped off that 94-yard.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, so you, like, watched it leave?
In real time. And it was just like me stimulating the DFS economy. It was just, like, a complete bailout. That was really, really painful.
Yeah, so I played.
You guys honestly telling me that you think Derrick Henry was like a good play?
I thought him and Madison were super close.
Yeah, I thought they were fine.
And like in retrospect, obviously, when one guy scores 40+ and the other guy scores 4 in a game where I thought they were pretty similar plays, like the way my lineup was constructed, I actually didn't even have the $100. So it was just like an easy one for me. But I was like, oh, you know, I'm not giving much up either way. In terms of,
well, I would have never done that because fading Madison in cash games would have just been stupid. Like, we can look back and be like, oh, the Viking. Like, no, there was no logical way to fade Madison in cash games. But
okay, so are we talking about not a 1v1, but actually Madison plus Henry plus a scrub like Gaskin?
So you would have had to fade Davis then, and Davis I think was the lock too.
Or no, you would have faded all the expensive wide receivers and played like Claypool, AJ Brown, and I don't know.
I would be surprised to see sharp people with a construction of 3 7K running backs. Like, I just don't think that was.
Well, no, you play Mike Davis, Derrick Henry, Alexander Madison, and then
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anybody.
And then you do what Sammy did, and you play the Vikings defense. You play Irv Smith Jr. and
Davis. You could have done it. You could have just not played Jonathan Taylor. You
yeah, Davis. Let's talk about.
Oh my God, Davis! Jonathan Taylor. Taylor instead of Derrick Henry. Let's roast this man.
If you're gonna play someone who doesn't get targets, at least play Derrick Henry. Someone who literally cannot be taken down at the NFL level.
Hey, my running Jonathan Taylor.
How he looked in college, and you saw him in week one, and he broke a long run. You literally cannot get off of this, like you watch the games with your eyes that are like, oh, he's fast, he's good. I'm gonna play.
Jonathan Taylor got 6 targets, dude. He had
in the backfield who will always out target him.
What do you think his market share of rushing attempts was today?
I don't know. I know what his projection was going into the game, and he wasn't a good play.
All the projection systems had him as a good play.
I mean, Davis, I'll tell you, I thought he was a play.
That's the thing. I thought he was like whatever. I actually didn't really see a difference between Taylor and Gaskin. I thought they were more or less the same play, but I liked Kenny Golladay more than I liked Thielen, and all the rest of my lineup was where I wanted it. And I was just like, what? I will say this. I actually do think that Taylor had more like multi-touchdown upside than Gaskin did, just based on how they use their running backs. So that was kind of what led me to that path. And also Jordan Wilkins only played 2 snaps last week. He got 1 carry in this game. So like and there was a report early this morning, like a Schefter tweet, that they were looking to expand Jonathan Taylor's role, and they did in this game. They expanded his role. He got 85% of the running back touches and was out there the entire game, except for the 2-minute drill at the end of the
going into this week. Going into this week, Jonathan Taylor had 52.4% of the backfield touches, 49% of the snaps, and 8.3% of the team
targets. Nate, I'm aware, but Jordan Wilkins had been a part of that, and he is not anymore. Yeah, Jordan Nate, Wilkins is
not.
Done.
Did you or did you not see the Schefter tweet?
No, I saw the Schefter tweet. Nyheim Hines is still a thing. And if it was Nyheim Hines, I probably would have played it. Jordan Wilkins is not the same like impact that Nyheim Hines is on that team.
Bro, you gotta follow the Schefter tweet.
I mean, like, Taylor played a lot. Like,
Nyheim Hines had 6 targets. There is somebody else in the backfield who gets 6 targets. That is not a feature running back. You cannot claim that he is worth $6,500 on DraftKings.com.
Well, certainly he's not, sir. I got owned hard.
Dude, you couldn't find $800 to get to Derrick Henry?
I would have had to play the Vikings defense.
The Vikings, like,
at least Derrick Henry doesn't have another running back in his backfield
he does. McNichols is playing a bunch.
Well,
McNichols played 30 snaps on Tuesday night,
and he was in on the like last 2 minutes on stuff too. It was crazy. So anyway, I just Jonathan Taylor, I don't understand that play.
It was I mean, you should have just, I thought he was a really fine play in GPPs. I didn't really see the cash utility in him.
Well, so I agree. Like, it's like I felt very whatever about the decision between my 2v2 was Gaskin, Thielen, Golladay, Taylor, and I was like, dude, I Adam Thielen for 7,300. No thanks, man. Not for me.
I mean, bro, against the Vikings or against the Falcons at home, giant implied team total, and the game script, like they got way down. How did Adam Thielen not completely?
So relative to the Roto Grinders projection and the ETR projections, we were about 1.5 lower on Thielen because we had Justin Jefferson for larger target shares than the other sites.
He's good. That makes sense.
Well, actually, I think the differential is other sites are still projecting Kyle Rudolph for like 10%, and we are projecting him for like 4.5% because he doesn't exist. I actually think that is the difference.
Jefferson just...
I mean, feeling so bad. Like, I mean, honestly, I was super fortunate to get anything from
him.
Yeah,
you did suck out on that, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had Golladay straight up projected for more points than Thielen. Like, not dollars per point, just like straight up more points.
That surprises me.
Let me see.
Just because Thielen, I know Jefferson's really come on, but Thielen's been really, really dominant in terms of not just target.
Yeah, but he's
yard share. Red
you
zone
guys had Galladay crazy high. I had Thielen as the second highest outside of Devontae.
I mean, I stand by the Galladay projections. He's a crusher.
He is a crusher. But, like, Galladay is usually not, like, a 10-plus target kind of guy. Like, he's more like...
Galladay's
ceiling is 23 to 25% target share on a season, where Thielen literally has ceiling of above 30% target share.
Not anymore, though.
He does.
I'm literally telling you, not anymore. That used to be the case. It is no longer true.
There were literally weeks this year.
There was. Before Justin Jefferson had arrived, is over now. Justin Jefferson has arrived.
Do you think Justin Jefferson is as much of a target share hog as Diggs was?
More. Diggs had 94 targets last year. Jefferson is going to pass that up by week 10.
Yeah, but wasn't Diggs hurt?
Yes.
Diggs
was a 25% target share guy in 2018.
That's not even what happened. They turned him into a deep threat. His ADOT went from, like, for his career, it went from being like 8 or 9 to his ADOT last year was like 14.5.
Yeah, they did that stuff where they switched him and
they
got
completely changed.
Okay, but in 2018, yeah. Diggs had 25% of the target share over an entire season. He had 149 targets. And I don't think that Justin Jackson is like that. And in that season,
you don't even know this guy's name.
In that season, Thielen still put up 153 targets. Thielen has had multiple seasons with above 140 targets over the past 3 years. Like, that is – Thielen is very different than Kenny Galladay. Like, Thielen is a 25% target share floor, where that is Kenny Galladay's ceiling. Like,
yeah,
Detroit just isn't set up in the same way from a that's not the way Stafford works. That's not the way, like, Detroit has ever worked since Calvin Johnson.
I get what you're saying, and all this has, like, good mathematical basis behind it, but the reality is sometimes football is not won on a spreadsheet. It's a little bit more of an art, my friend.
It's a little bit more of an art, and Justin Jefferson is a freaking artist. he's already got two games with more than 175 receiving yards. He has more receiving yards through 5 games than Randy Moss did. Care to respond?
Or would you like this L, my friend?
No, I understand that, but I also know that 3 weeks ago he had a target share of 11%. Like, this is not
because it just hadn't happened yet, dude. It's you don't put the Pandora back in the box.
Yeah, I'd really like to have played Adam Thielen 3 weeks.
Got it. Jonathan Taylor is now the best running back in the NFL because there was
I muted him. I can't handle it.
How's Clyde Edwards-Helaire doing? I love how you guys take these short samples and just, like, make these.
I'm tilting so hard right now.
what do you think football is, Nate? Nate looks at, like, 4 years of historical data. It's like, nah, dude, things change in the NFL, and they change quick. And
not as quickly as you guys are thinking. Adam Thielen is not Kenny Galladay.
Like, okay, what odds will you give me?
Nate, I'm with you. I played Adam Thielen in cash. Like,
Davis,
and I think
I will bet you an insane amount of money that Adam Thielen ends with a higher target share this season than Kenny Galladay.
What about straight up more total targets, Kenny G versus Thielen?
Then you're taking into account, like, injuries. No. I am not getting into a predicting.
Then you're taking into account actual production.
then you're taking into account fantasy points, and I'm not in the business of accruing those, clearly.
I prefer Sklansky bucks.
Okay, I didn't even play Thielen today. I played Galladay, but you guys are just fish.
Yeah, you played Galladay because he was the better play.
Well, today he was because of his price tag.
Wait, hold on. We haven't even gotten to what I thought was going to be the big argument of the show, where Nate tries to tell us that frickin' Chase Claypool, who's like the new Calvin Johnson, was 5,200 and wasn't a good play. This is going to be my favorite part of the show. Explain to me why I'm bad for jamming in Chase Claypool.
Because James Washington is, like, the target over him. Like, Claypool sucked out with a rushing touchdown. Like, please don't dunk
sucked
on
out,
me.
Bro. He gets, like, 3 attempts a game now at the goal line.
That's like a structured part of their offense.
Yeah, Davis, were you tilting when Washington caught that long bomb?
No. Because they what you actually wanted if you played Claypool at 5,200 was for Washington to be the outside guy and for Claypool to be the slot guy, because the outside guy, he gets like four targets, and if he doesn't catch one of them, he's going to have three for 63, and that's like the ceiling. Like, I think that's almost exactly what Washington had, even.
What guy is Juju now?
He's the clear out guy. He's Michael.
He's the tight end that they just bring along the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, when you can get four targets from a five,
oh, okay, guy, I can't.
You just need to jam it.
I don't even want to do this with you.
5.2 for the third wide receiver on. Yeah.
What about when you include the fact that he's also the goal line back? I played a goal line back at wide receiver and at tight end today because I'm super sharp.
Dude, he's like better than Chenault, right?
Okay.
Like,
This gonna be
over under rushing touchdowns for him through the rest of the year.
1.5.
It's a good line. He definitely outscored Thielen, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, this is so tilting.
I mean, he caught every one of his targets for 74 yards and then had a rushing
touchdown. But you know what? He is going to have a massive amount of touchdowns over expected fantasy points in this game because he got tackled at the 2-yard line and at the 1-yard line on his receptions.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben threw one out to him in the flat, and he, like, dove and came up, like, a half a yard short.
Yeah.
He David Montgomery'd. But he made, like, a good play. Like, he was
– yeah.
So tilting. Jesus Christ.
And then no, well, I want to mock Nate a little. I mean, I can't make fun of the Robbie Anderson play because it's like such a good math play, but it's like sort of like where you're like, it's a little bit more of an art, bro. Like for Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson play was like this close to dunking on you.
I did not at any point tell you it was bad because I think he's an alpha, and I think that Curtis Samuel being out was a fine play.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel was out, for me, it became a lock. I liked Robbie Anderson before. With Curtis Samuel out, I thought he was a lock. That game did not go how I think any of us thought it would. I mean, Bridgewater and Carolina just struggled way more than all of us thought they would have.
Mike Davis was not McCaffrey, but he did get a touchdown still.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think any of us expected Teddy Bridgewater to complete 16 passes in this game. Like, so I don't – like, Robbie is a boss, and I will continue.
Robbie, I only caught some of that game, but Robbie Anderson earned every single fantasy point that he got.
Teddy was terrible, dude.
I mean, Teddy literally completed 16 passes. That had to be the low of the week. Like – so yeah,
when you pay Mike Davis more, man.
Yeah, when you pay a 5 point or whatever I paid for.
Oh Robbie, yeah, we kind of skipped over Mike Davis a little bit. I mean, how bad could this dude run, right? Yeah, like they get down to the goal line three times. He only gets one touchdown out of it, and he has one reception in this game. Like, what gives?
Well, he had two, but he fumbled. But he fumbled.
He fumbled it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. I mean, we don't do a really good job of like talking about our lineups, but. Like, we all played Madison. We all played Davis. Nate, you played Montgomery.
Me and Sammy had the sharpest running backs. It was either Montgomery or Gaskin. Davis Fish.
You had the sharpest running backs, but for the third week in a row, who scored the most points?
Dude, I think the last 2 weeks I scored more than you.
No, I scored like 30 more points than you guys last week.
No, let me pull it up.
Yes, I did.
I was just happy to win. I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Nate, again, with the Sklansky bucks, obviously, but.
Yeah, so we all played Brown. We all played Brown, who's just like a free square, and you were like.
Yeah, I thought the locks were Madison, Mike Davis, and A.J. Brown.
Yeah, so you were a guppy if you didn't play A.J. Brown, but did we all play Golladay? So we all played Brown and Golladay. My third receiver was Thielen, Robbie Anderson for Nate, and Davis went with Claypool. And then we all played Trey Burton. That was sharp.
It was sharp, but I mean, like, obviously some of the best run good. Because, like, Irv Smith actually had a good game. So that was the thing, was that Irv Smith was the other guy that you could have considered. And he had, I believe, 5 targets in this game.
Yeah, and so, a 2-point conversion target and catch.
Yeah, so, like, had Trey Burton had a Logan Thomas, like, 3-for-18 game, we would have been in a very bad spot relative to our opponents who played Irv Smith.
Yeah, I'm bummed that Burton was so popular. Like, I didn't know he would be this popular. I thought Irv would take a lot more ownership. And then I was very dismayed to see that we all played Burton. He scored 2 touchdowns.
I thought this was a classic spot where Nate would not have played him. Like, I was ready for Nate to show up with, like, Austin Hooper or something.
I'm super bummed Waller was on the bye this week.
I'm pretty sure I had Burton in when you guys were doing Irv.
Well,
you're the original Burton guy.
I had Burton all week.
I had Irv all week because I was trying to play Henry for a little while.
Yeah, you should have done that.
Well, you should have done that. He would have been a better play than Jonathan Taylor. If you're going to play a fat running back who can't catch passes, might as well.
You know.
Get up to the
I actually said that to Andrew Wiggins this morning. I said, if I'm going to play a fat, I might as well play Henry instead of Taylor, and I didn't do it.
Did Wiggins play Henry?
You know what would have been great for you? If Burton had given Taylor the ball on that option play. And Taylor.
Oh my God, can you imagine if he popped past it to Jonathan Taylor and I got a Trey Burton to Jonathan Taylor passing touchdown?
Nate would have been so pissed right now.
Nate would not have been able to do the show. It would have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
You would have Jonathan Taylor did well, I would have been.
I mean, Nate, he was like an ankle away from having 21.
Yeah, okay. He did well.
Literally, Montgomery had 2 touchdowns taken away from him.
Well, David Montgomery is
– the touchdowns, Nate, because he's fat.
Yeah.
He didn't actually get into the end zone. That's the thing.
Like, watching David Montgomery is like, what would happen if Alex Arma got to be a full-time running back for an NFL team?
Okay, Montgomery –
just like, got to jam in Arma. He gets
– Montgomery out snapped
him, Arma gets all the work.
And then was like $500 cheaper. It wasn't even a
– I thought – actually, you know, and if you really liked Montgomery, you should have played on FanDuel because he was 5,900 there, which on FanDuel is like, I think Adrian Peterson is more.
If I was playing on FanDuel, I'd probably play somebody like David Johnson or something. He probably got 20 touches again at 5K.
David Johnson so much.
David Johnson, he finally scored a touchdown.
Yeah. What do you know? David Johnson, another 19 rushing attempts. Only 2 targets though this week.
Well,
but you guys are all drawn to these guys who get 10 rushing attempts.
I mean, whatever.
I mean, I played Madison. He got
I played Madison. He loves to get 10 rushing attempts.
We can each other about all this stuff, but like the truth is, we all played Madison. And
the
not
truth is,
Henry,
I'm just
and now we're all poor.
The truth is, I'm just tilted.
Sammy didn't play the best defensive play of all time on DraftKings.com.
Yeah, can you talk to me about that?
Because he just said defense don't matter, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they were a 4.5-point home favorite. And yes, did I like Miami better than Minnesota? You're damn right I did. Of course, it was a better spot. But for me, it was just like my 2v2 was Burton. Yeah, it was Burton in the Miami – or it was Burton and Minnesota defense versus Irv in the Miami defense. And I went with Burton. And it was – I mean, it was fairly close. But, like, I really wanted my 3 receivers, right? I wanted Thielen because I thought he was just a complete smash. Thielen, Galladay, and A.J. Brown. I thought that was, like, the nuts right there. Madison and Davis at running back with Gaskin. You know, if like the only spot, like I feel like I'm weak at is DST where I played 2.3 for a home favorite against the freaking Atlanta Falcons. I'm fine. So
Sammy, I thought your team was sharper than David's. I actually think Thielen, Galladay and Brown were really
that good. Is very on brand for Nate to look at the team that scored 20 less points and be like, that's the team.
Hell for me. Davis, I appreciate that.
Davis, you literally played Jonathan Taylor and Chase Claypool. Like you're lucky. You didn't get
Claypool was not bad. I refuse
to
acknowledge.
Claypool was the most recency bias play you've made this year. You've been relatively
so,
sharp
so
this
stupid.
Year. You've been relatively sharp this year.
Claypool. Just like the guy. This is like Justin Jefferson's going to be like 5,200 next week, and Nate's going to be like, dude, do you guys see Thielen? He's only 7,400. I'm jamming him in. The Vikings are on a bye next week, so that doesn't hold. But it's just like, dude, you got to adjust with the new information. Juju Smith-Schuster is DeMarcus Robinson. He's not going to command any target share. So there's lots of targets to go around, and Claypool is a baller, and they try and get him to score touchdowns. It's the gadget floor, dude. You remember when we used to talk about the gadget floor? Chase Claypool has that gadget floor, bro.
What's James Washington's price? That's more.
Oh, my gosh, Nate. I can't even. James Washington's terrible.
The air yards, bro. The air yards. I mean, here's what happened with you, Davis. And confirm or deny, and I want you to be honest here. You locked into Jonathan Taylor, and you just said, you know what? He is going to freaking smash this.
Honestly, game. No. Honestly, really? No. Really. The only guys I was locked
– play, though.
The only guys I was locked into were Madison, Mike Davis, Kenny Golladay, A.J. Brown, one of Trey Burton or Irv Smith, Dolphins defense, and then Stafford or Fitzpatrick. And the way that those things made the most sense to me with liking Golladay more than Thielen was to play Taylor. Yes. And I could – like, Taylor was projected fine. Like, I knew that there was pass catching, like, problems, but then really I probably would not have considered Taylor at all if I didn't know that Jordan Wilkins was banged up. Wilkins played like four snaps, so that ended up fine. It's just Taylor didn't score a touchdown. If you don't score a touchdown, you're not going to do well.
No bonus, no touchdown.
He did have no 4 for 40, though.
You know
who we haven't talked about today that I actually spent a lot of time thinking about?
It's going to be someone terrible.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's definitely going to be – like, who's it going to be, Davis?
Because we discussed all – there were five playable running backs, in my opinion – there were four playable wide receivers, in my opinion, two playable tight ends, three playable quarterbacks.
One of them. It was a late Saturday thing, and I actually considered him for a long time, but it just didn't help my lineup much.
I'm going to say, like, Chris Godwin.
No, Philip Lindsay.
Oh, yeah, that's so on brand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay, that would have been on brand for you.
Yeah,
he came in at 4,200 and got like 25 touches or something.
Yeah, that's big Nate Noling.
Yeah, like he crushed. Yeah, if you tell me that the Broncos win that game
and he touches,
I play him. But you know who I also play? Nate, we lose if that happens because we play Devontae Adams.
Oh,
we lose. We play Devontae over Golladay.
Yeah, we do,
and we just get crushed.
And we forget that Aaron Rodgers actually still isn't.
Is still – he stinks. He stinks.
Yeah, yeah. You guys don't do the sharp thing and play Henry along with Madison.
Right. Yep. Aaron Rodgers in Scott Fishbowl scoring had, like, negative 20 points today. I was looking at my league, and it was just one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
Imagine you're in Scott Fishbowl. You're just rolling. You think he's going to win the MVP, and then he just puts up a negative 20 burger.
Little negative 20 burger there.
And when he threw that second pick and the guy went down at the one, you're like, yes.
Owned.
Dude, Philip was not a bad play. 4-3.
No, he wasn't. He was fine.
It's such a Noling brand.
It made it weird construction because I'm like, who am I gonna get off of to get onto Lindsay? Like, I wasn't gonna fade Madison or Davis. And yeah, I mean, 1,500 wasn't enough. It wasn't going to get me anything off of Montgomery, so
yeah, no Waller on the slate.
No,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, if Waller was on the slate, I probably would have ended on Lindsay.
Yeah,
Lindsay was a good play. I'm just saying for anybody who did play him.
I mean, Philip Lindsay is a better play than David Montgomery. If your thought process is, I just want to lock up 20 touches, probably rather Lindsay than.
Probably better than Jonathan Taylor.
Definitely better than Jonathan Taylor. I was even like tweeting like Jonathan Taylor's fat stuff earlier in the week. Like, he has two broken tackles through five games.
His long run of the season is 16 yards.
He actually beat that today. He had a really long one today.
Yeah, did he? I think he had 21 today.
Well, okay, so this is crazy. They were down 14-0 in that game.
Right.
Like, what? Dude, okay, cards on the table. I played the Colts defense on FanDuel.
That's okay.
My FanDuel team is let's just – here, we can end here. You guys can roast my FanDuel team. This is the worst
team. Pittsburgh, bro. Pittsburgh was the alpha defense play.
This team I played on FanDuel, it's got to be the worst team I've put together all year, both in terms of how I feel about it and in terms of the amount of points I scored.
I'm excited.
On FanDuel, I played Matt Stafford, one touchdown. Alexander Madison, no touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor, no touchdowns. Kenny Golladay, no touchdowns. Adam Thielen, one touchdown. Chase Claypool, one touchdown. Who's the Smith that I played?
Johnu. You played Jeff Smith?
No, oh, Johnu. Johnu. He got hurt, no touchdowns. Colts defense.
Yeah, the only thing that saved
not a bad lineup.
The only thing that saved me.
Oh, and Mike Davis, one touchdown.
But here's the thing: how do you not play Derrick Henry on FanDuel?
Unbelievable, dude! Literally inexcusable.
That is fully egregious. That's fish status. He was
Davis. I actually like cards on the table. As much as I hate D. Henry, I mean, on FanDuel, he's the play. Like,
no, it was. It is. It's inexcusable, dude. Like, literally, so bad.
That's fierce. You just went all in on Stafford and all out on Derrick Henry. And here
okay,
you are.
So you guys, I don't know how much you guys play on FanDuel, but there is this nice little element of like clean sweats of just like, okay, I know exactly what I'm rooting for and I know exactly what I'm rooting against. And that's what got me is being like, oh, I just can root for JT on both sides. And then when he scores, you know, it's bada boom, bada bing. And it was not bada boom, bada bing. It was very bad. It was very brutal all day long. What can you do?
When Jonathan Taylor's price adjusts, I'll play him.
Yeah, when Jonathan Taylor's like 4,600.
Yeah. When he's priced at what he should be for like a running back who's like out there 60% of the time or less.
Yeah, like when he's
Philip Lindsay or equal, Nate will consider it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Adrian Peterson has scored more fantasy points than Jonathan Taylor through 5 weeks. I'm not even being facetious. I'm pretty 100%. Sure.
Adrian Peterson gets in the zone.
He's dude, done though, dude. It's backfield now. It's Swift season.
Swift like is here.
But. Yeah. All right. There we go. We did it. Monday night football takes. I think we have a 2-game slate tomorrow.
I just am excited for the Chiefs Bills game. I think that's going to be a fun one.
Aren't the Bills bad now though? Like I think the Bills might. I think the magic. Pixie dust might have.
Oh, yes. I forgot. We're into small samples on this show. Yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders, so let's not forget about all that.
Well, they scored 32 points, though. I guess this is the thing, is that Josh Allen still has very wide ranges of outcomes. Like, he's not as dialed in as we had previously believed.
I mean, Josh Allen is who we thought he was, which is just a very high variance but talented quarterback that now he has some actual weapons like Stephon Diggs and stuff in a supporting cast that makes it like he's in a position to succeed.
Dude, how amazing is it that there's going to be football? I mean, literally, Sammy, there's going to be football on like during your lunch break tomorrow?
No, my boss has no idea, but I'm leaving work at like 1:30 so I can get
it. So what time are the games tomorrow? Is it like 5? Like,
yeah, it's 2:00 in the afternoon, West Coast.
So it's 5:00 Central Time?
No, that's not how time works.
I don't know.
4:00 Central Time?
Oh, jeez.
Davis knows how time zones work better than you, Nate. It is time to log off.
That's how hard I've been grinding this year, dude. That's how hard I've been in these streets. I learned time zones.
Yep. And then you play guys like Jonathan Taylor because you spent all summer getting excited.
I mean, honest to God, I could lose for the next 14 weeks and I won't be down money in DFS this year, so it doesn't really matter.
These are famous last words, by the way. This was my friend in Vegas was up like thousands at a blackjack table and says, there's no way, I'm just going to stay a little longer. There's no way I can lose this all.
Well, I don't,
to be fair though, Davis is a legitimate a hooker, like, nit.
And then we were laughing.
Yeah, dude.
Davis is a nit who's like withdrawn. And I guarantee you Davis probably played the exact same amount this week that he did last week. I rip on Davis a lot, but like his bankroll management, he's actually.
I'm playing a little bit more. Like I'm probably playing, like I play in cash every, well, also it depends. Cause like, I get these games on Twitter from numbskulls, so like I'm not gonna turn down bad like good action. Yeah. But yeah, I mean I play between $500 and $700 every week, like regardless of how much I just won.
Yeah, Davis is sharp.
You're such a nit.
Disciplined.
Well,
guys, I haven't even had a chance to dunk on you about this CEH stuff. Remember when you guys literally thought he was like the second coming, and he was like a great play at 6.5, and then they went out and signed Le'Veon Bell.
This is Nate. You know, you never take an L, and then the guy's not even on the slate, and you're trying to hand him out. I'm not biting. I'm not biting on this.
You guys, like all week, I've been waiting. All week, I've watched that Le'Veon Bell stuff, just going, Le'Veon Bell is going to be the one who puts him in his grave.
How much do they wish that they just had Damian?
I mean, Damian's a boss. That's why.
Remember when people used to argue about like early round draft capital on running backs, and like there were legitimate people who thought that that was a good move?
Like Saquon. Yes. Guys, I can't talk about this anymore. I'm tilting. I need to go vape. Like, let's end this.
Yeah. All right. Later, boys.
Later.
Later.